Turn to John, the 20th chapter. Today's title is Receive the Holy Spirit. John, the 20th chapter. Verse 22, this is the Lord speaking. He said, and with this, he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. These are wonderful words that Jesus spoke forth. He said to his disciples, Receive the Holy Spirit as he breathed on them. What do you think of when you think about the Holy Spirit? Do you think of him as an it? Do you think of him as some sort of foreign power? Do you think of him as a person, and probably the most important person upon this planet? Yes, even more important than you or me. He is the most important person. Why? Because he is the governor of the church of Jesus Christ. And it is his job to teach us and transform us from this lowly position of our fallen estate, and to cause us to rise and shine in the glory of God as citizens. And not only citizens, hear me, church, but as ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And it's very important that we understand that in receiving the Holy Spirit, there are two distinct things that happen to the believer. Oh, this is great. I can't wait till the Holy Spirit just lays you guys out. Come on, get closer. Come, receive the Holy Spirit. God does everything through love. He does not want his people to be afraid of him, but because of how awesome he is and because of how wonderful he is, sometimes when he displays his glory and power, we become afraid. We do. We become afraid. And God's telling us that when, in our experience, when we received Jesus Christ, we heard the gospel that told us that in our fallen estate we are sinners, but God loves us so much that he forgives our sin by placing our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross. Amen? And at the moment that we believe and we receive that fact and we ask for forgiveness, we are forgiven. And the Holy Spirit comes and he dwells in us. And he ignites our spirit and he makes us alive to God in God himself. Amen? But there is another experience that is even more profound, because without experiencing the fullness of the Holy Spirit, all we are is saved. We are immature individuals. And God does not want us to be just saved. He wants us to grow up and be mature and take authority and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. And as you can see in the testimonies, those who are believing God are walking out of themselves, testing God. And God says, prove me. He says, prove them. He wants us to step out in his word and believe what he's saying. And the Holy Spirit does something miraculous. He empowers us to tread upon serpents and demons and every other kind of wicked thing. So that those of you who are allowing the enemy to make you feel sick, to cause you to feel uncomfortable, do you not know that you have power over that? You do. And it's through the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit, Jesus said. Not receiving it, not receive a thing, but receive the Holy Spirit. The moment that we enter into this relationship with Jesus Christ is the moment when we are reconnected to the kingdom via the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit did not have legal grounds in which to inhabit the earth. And so, as I explained last week, it was a process in which the Holy Spirit would come upon someone who would be moved by his presence to write down or do miraculous feats. And you can see that all through the Old Testament. Gideon had 300 people and defeated an army. Israel going out to defeat the Gibeonites. And all they did was take their shields and praise God. And the armies fought against themselves and were destroyed. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous stuff. And what it is showing us is that if we are obedient to God, if we maintain our position of righteousness and fight for that position, which is far more valuable than giving into that garbage that the world would try to seduce us in accepting and receiving, God promises the scepter of power and authority. Don't you want that? The Church of Jesus Christ is destined for that. But you can only want it, but you have to receive Him. You have to receive the Holy Spirit. And the moment that we receive, we become part of the kingdom. And the moment that Jesus breathed upon the disciples, the recolonization of the earth began. War was declared on earth. No longer in heaven, but on earth, that God was now going to take back what was rightly His. One person, one family, one community, one kingdom at a time. And that is what He's doing even in this day. Think about it. One person, one family, one neighborhood, one kingdom. And it says in Revelation that the kingdoms of this earth have now become the kingdoms of our Lord's Christ, of which we are part of. We are destined, church, to rule and reign in Jesus Christ. And this was predestined from the foundations of the world that God had saw in His infinite wisdom, that you and I are to reign and rule with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. And it all starts with us practicing it right now. And we're going to see, not today, but in the weeks ahead, how to begin to operate in conjunction with the leading of the Holy Spirit, how to begin to start taking back what was in your life that was taken away, and begin to start taking back everything that the enemy has stolen, so that you can see your families come to Jesus Christ, that you can see your neighbors come to Jesus Christ, you can see your girlfriends and boyfriends come to Jesus Christ, but you've got to be rock solid first before you see that happen. Amen? We are not missionary dating. We are not going to be missionary evangelizing. We're not going to be doing that. We're going to do what the Holy Spirit wants done and how He wants it done. And that is in the power and might to glorify Jesus. Amen? You should get excited. For the first time, church, we are coming to a place where we will be taking back what is rightfully ours. And you have a part to play in it. Turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, verses 20 and 21. We there? Okay. And once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come visibly, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in you." We saw in Romans that the kingdom of God is peace, joy, righteousness in the Holy Spirit, which is in you. Righteousness. Being right with God. Not just being in doing right things, but being right standing with God. Being in the right position at the right time for the right reason with the right motive. Joy, peace. We have peace with God because we're no longer at war with Him. And we have joy because we have salvation. We should be the happiest people in the world, no matter what's going on. No matter what excuses we use. Oh, I need a new start in life. No, you don't. Jesus Christ gave that to you. You don't need another new start. What you need to do is start your life in Jesus Christ. That's the facts. Because if we're saying and trying to convince ourselves of this lie that, you know what, it'll be better on the other side of the fence, it'll never be better on the other side of the fence. All you'll do is when you come back on this side of the fence is you'll have more junk to bring with you. That's the truth. The kingdom of God is in us. And those of us who have studied the tabernacle understand that the presence of God was where? In the ark. In the ark. Which was contained in the Holy of Holies. And I told you that if we could take it, if you could understand and wrap your mind around it, it is a picture of where God dwells in us. You're holy because He is holy. He has made you whole. W-H-O-L-E. He has filled in the whole, H-O-L-E, with His very presence in you. He has empowered you to become a Christian or a believer. But not everyone has received the Holy Spirit in His fullness. And that is a difference. How many of us have been baptized in the Spirit of God? How many of us have now taken on the role of a lion and really challenged people with our lives? There's still opportunity. All we got to do is repent, get it under the blood, and do it. That's the truth. You got to get your lives right. That's what it calls for right standing. And only God knows what He's been telling you to do, and you know what you've been refusing to do. That's why we're no longer focusing on sin. You are now the righteousness of Christ. You were once sinful. You were once not a people of God, but now you are the people of God. You were once destitute and failed, but now there is no failure in Jesus Christ, only success and victory in Jesus Christ. No matter what the world tells you, it's a lie. Because Jesus Christ tells me all things are possible to him who believes. And you have to believe that God loves us so much that He even puts His Spirit in us and upon us, that we walk in the fullness of His Spirit 24/7. As long as we maintain our position of righteousness. And who has that choice? All of us. We can choose the unfruitful works of unrighteousness, or we can choose to let God produce those fruits of righteousness in us through our obedience. But it's predicated on us receiving the Holy Spirit and understanding His work, and His work is to expose the unfruitful works of the devil and begin to start producing righteous fruit in our lives. Turn to Romans 8. A lot of scripture today. I'm laying a foundation for you guys so you may see and understand completely the Holy Spirit's role. Romans 8, verses 6 through 17. Are we there? It says, "The mind of the sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace." Life and peace. "The sinful man is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit." You are no longer controlled. No longer controlled by the sinful nature. Why? But the Spirit of God dwells in you. Okay? "If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living within you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who lives in you." What does that mean? In real simple terms, when I was dead in my sin, and when you're dead in your sin, it's impossible for you to do the right thing. It is impossible for you to please God. What is possible is I continue to do the wrong things. And then when I get convicted, then I'm always saying, I'm sorry. I really didn't mean it. The truth of it is you did. Because sin in you is ruling and reigning. But when you receive the Holy Spirit, now becomes a matter of choice. You can either choose to do the things that God tells you to do, or you can choose not to. You can either choose to be in a position of righteousness to receive more from God through your obedience, because now the Spirit dwells in you, who is able to transform the way you think, get rid of stinking thinking. And once we know that once our thinking changes, our behaviors change, we begin to start taking responsibility for our lives. We're no longer filled with excuses. We become problem solvers. We're looking for a way to solve a problem. We're not looking for somebody else to solve it for us, because God has saved us and has solved the problem. The most major problem is our separation from God. And so if I have the Spirit of God dwelling in me, then I am Christ. I am in Christ, I mean. I'm not Christ. He is. And because of that, He bears witness to me. He makes me alive. I know who I am in Jesus Christ. Do you know who you are? Only those who have the Spirit can say that with all boldness. Do you know who you are in Jesus Christ? Oh, I think I'm saved. Now, you will either know you are or you know you're not. There's no cloudy issue here, because as we'll see as we continue on, it says, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. It is not to sin, to live the sinful nature, but to live according to righteousness. For if we live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you will put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the Spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. You will know that you are a child of God or you're not a child of God. That's just that simple. And yet we try to make it so difficult. And the simplicity of it is, as long as I'm in trespasses and sin, I do not have the Spirit of God dwelling in me. Why? Because as we saw in the beginning, when there was a war that was going on, the governor was taking out. You can't have sin and the Holy Spirit dwelling in you simultaneously. Although your spirit has been renewed, your spirit is closed off because sin is shutting it down. And so we need another experience, a baptism, to shatter the darkness, so that we may live completely in His righteousness. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, but we do not have the power to overcome. All we have is a recognition that we are now children of the Most High God. Okay? It's like when I'm 16, I jump in my dad's car, I think I can drive, right? But without the keys, I don't have the power or the wisdom to start that car and drive it. All I know is that I'm my dad's kid. We must, as Jesus said, receive power from on high. Acts 1, verse 8. Jesus, talking to the disciples before He left, He said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and in even to the ends of the earth. The beautiful thing about the book of Acts is it tells about the acts of the Holy Spirit through the church. We are the 29th chapter of Acts. We are still being written. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I know it to be a fact. Because I've been in the Lord just a week or two before you guys. And it's so cool to watch what God's doing in this. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When you receive power, when you are baptized, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that is the moment you receive the scepter. A power and authority. No demon in hell, no disease on earth, nothing has more authority than the King and His representative. It is not you who will be doing these things. It will be the King performing His work through you via the Holy Spirit. That is why it is important for us not to just get saved, but to have been baptized in His Spirit so that we are fully immersed by faith in what He wants to do. And a couple of weeks ago, we had a small demonstration of God's power. Do you think God wants to use you guys too? This is yes. There is no in Jesus Christ. It's yea and amen, Jesus Christ. But you know what, Pastor? I don't believe this stuff. Well, that's fine. You have the right to believe, or I like to put it, stay in unbelief. I know in whom I believe. I know the power from on high. I know, and I have seen the Holy Spirit do marvelous things. I have been privileged enough to go into a prayer tent. As young and as stupid as I was in the Lord, I was just put my hands on a person who was so twisted and contorted, and I just prayed. I don't even remember the words I said. Something like, Lord, just heal his body in Jesus' name. And when I removed my hands, after hearing this guy screaming and hearing his bones being snapped into place, because I thought this guy was in anguish, here he was in joy. And the imprint of my hands was no longer there, but the handprints of the Holy Spirit was upon this person's back, watching God heal this person. I was deathly afraid. I said, feet, don't fail me now. Move me out. And I did. I moved. But that was my first supernatural experience in Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what. I want more. I want more. I want to see His church, you guys. I want to see you guys walking, talking Christian terrorists to the spirit realm. Not to the physical realm, but to the spiritual realm. I want to see you guys speak things that aren't as though they were, and they become what you have said in Jesus' name. Joshua stopped the sun for a whole day. You know that? He stopped the sun for a whole day, so he could beat up on the enemies. How much do you think God will do that, who is the author and finisher of your faith? And we have to begin by receiving the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts tells how the church and how the Holy Spirit turned the world upside right for the first time. They didn't do it by themselves. They used the Spirit of the King in order to reach out and make a difference. As you read the book of Acts, you will see the Holy Spirit constantly, time after time after time, after the prophets and the apostles were speaking, doing things. Angels miraculously appearing, causing chains to fall off of those who were interned in prison and sent them back out. Earthquakes, miraculous earthquakes happening. And the church praying in the Holy Spirit to deliver men and women of God from their incarcerations. God's plan is not for us to be saved, but is full restoration for man to have dominion once again upon the earth through His Spirit. John 14, verses 15 through 17 says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you." Full immersion, Jesus is telling us. You will be so immersed in the Spirit of God that no matter where you walk, no matter what you think, no matter what's going on, when He moves you, all you need to do is obey His leading. Didn't we just read? Those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Now mind you, this is not talking about being led by your emotions, not being led by your feelings. This is totally being led by the Spirit. And that is a difference. And this is why it's so important. We must get our minds renewed. What's contained in our mind is our mind, our thinking capacity, our will, the things we will do or not do, and our emotions, how we feel about stuff. Take all that stuff and chuck it in the trash because it has nothing to do with our obedience. It has everything to do with our disobedience. But if we're going to follow the Spirit, we have to get our minds out of it. We've got to get our heads out of it, our emotions out of it, and realize that God speaks in our spirits, who enlightens my mind, who enables me to do the will of God. Is it all coming back to this, guys? God speaks to my spirit, who enlightens my mind. Motivates a good one. Who motivates my flesh to do the will of God. We've gone through a whole year, big old circle, coming around to a point that you should begin to understand the realities of this truth, of which God's people must walk and live by every day. You can run away from God all you want. He wins. He never loses. I've never seen God lose a battle. I've read it. I've tried to find it. The devil tried. He got kicked out of heaven. And then he's going to get kicked out of this earth. And he's going to go to the lake of fire with his three buddies, the false prophet, the beast, and the Antichrist, yes. I don't want to give all the answers out. Gosh, see if you guys are reading your Bible. And those things, everything is in motion, church. Everything is now destined for the church of Jesus Christ to arise and shine, to take the last big hoopla, bring people in, and then guess what? We're all called out because it'll be all warfare upon this planet. God destroying rebellious man. Think about that. God doesn't want to do this, but He will do it because He has to do it because we are so disobedient. If we are disobedient to His leading, it's real simple. Repent. Get it under the blood. Get back in position. And do what He's told you to do. We can run. We can hide. We can go from state to state. We can go to country to country. Thinking that we're going to... God sees it all. He's everywhere. I mean, that's the reason for the Holy Spirit. To be everywhere simultaneously. So if we get it right here, then when He sends us out, we will be right there too. The source of our power is not of this earth. And we had a word today that I don't know if anybody paid attention, but God was saying, woe to him who trusts in the arm of the flesh. Woe to him. That's not a blessing. That's a whoa. That's like, hold on here, dude. Pull back this horse. The world is controlled by the evil one. And its only power, its only influence, contaminates the people of God. It does not empower God's people. That is why we must move away from the influences of the world, and we must infiltrate and impact the world for Jesus Christ. And it starts with me lining up my life in the right position. But Pastor, you know, I've heard this all before. Yeah, and you will continue to hear it because this is encouragement to you that where you are today, you will not be there next year. Your position will even be more destitute because you refuse to do what God tells you to do, or you will be in so much in love with God that you cannot but obey Him. Because you see the blessings of God coming upon your life and beginning to move upon other people's lives. It's the shower effect, you know? When you're under the umbrella, there's nothing that can touch you. But when you move out, you get wet. I mean, it's really that simple. We cannot fulfill the king's command to go and make disciples while we're being ineffectively influenced by the world. We must, in a sense, realign ourselves that we have the kingdom's value system, the love of the kingdom, the attitude of the kingdom, the forgiveness of the king, and the patience of our master to lead people to Jesus Christ. And this is only the beginning part of doing the greater works that Jesus said the church would do. The nature of the kingdom is to be spread throughout the church, not the world being spread through the church. Believers need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit so that He alone connects us to the King and to earth. It's His influence upon us. And that influence is a positive influence filled with love and grace and mercy. It is the authority of the heaven's government through the governor that the church makes and displaces the kingdom of darkness. The longer I stand in the light, the more light and intensity that I had to drive back darkness in Jesus' name. Lest the world doesn't tempt me with all the garbage that it has, because I know that it's temporal. What I'm building in my life is eternal. These things are all going to pass away. You and I are going to pass away. But will my life count for Jesus Christ is the question that you and I must ask. You could be a 16-year-old evangelist going nuts out there because you know that you have been forgiven tremendous. You could be a 30-year-old individual who is teaching and making disciples of Jesus Christ. You could be whatever God has placed in your heart to be. All you need to do is believe and become that which He has said. Well, I just don't want that. I don't want to suffer. Well, it's the old Fram thing. And you've heard me say it. You will pay the Lord now, or you will pay Him later, but you will pay Him. And when eternity, your eternal position, the position of your family, your friends is at stake, it takes on a different perspective. It is God's life that gives us purpose and a destiny. It is Satan who wants to steal that from us. The thief comes not but to steal, to rob, and destroy. What is it that he has stolen from you that you value? From you, not somebody else, from you. What is it that he is putting you in that you're filled with excuses that you can't obey God? And the lover of your soul was obedient even unto death to forgive us. I'm not saying this transformation is going to take. I've been walking with the Lord for 20-some years. And He's still working on me. But you know what? Confucius said something. A long journey starts with a step at a time. Where are you stepping? Are you stepping in it? Or are you stepping through it? What does your life smell like? Yeah, your life smells either like a bed of roses or manure. Because you see, sin that becomes attached to us makes us stink. And God wants us to smell the savory aroma of death, which is pleasant to Him. It's wrong to us, but you know what? We have to get our thinking changed. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to receive Him. If you haven't experienced the Holy Spirit, I'll pray with you. And you can receive Him. Be empowered. But the key to here is constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. Constantly looking, because we're leaky vessels. And God wants to be involved in your life, in the life of your community, the life of your families. But if our lives still reek of the stuff that we've had for 3, 4, 5 years that God has been talking to us about, then nobody's going to want to hear about the kingdom until we exhibit it. We're living it. We can't witness to our friends because we're afraid that they're going to find out that, you know what, I'm a Christian and I'm still doing things wrong. That's okay. As long as you're advancing, maturing, growing. Get rid of that junk. Don't allow the junk to stop you from going on and becoming all that God wants you to be and has created you to be. Don't think that the lie that you're agreeing with, that, you know what, I got till tomorrow. You're never assured that. Don't think that I can run away from my problems or have someone else solve my problems for me is the answer. No. God will still hold you personally responsible for everything that you haven't done unless you get it under the blood, be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and move out. You are a powerful agent of love, and you have not realized it yet. Because the God of the universe, creator of heaven and earth, dwells in you in the fullness. There is not just a pinch of Him. You have all of God dwelling in you. All you need to do is allow Him to come forth. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are here with us today. And You're even convicting us, Lord, of those areas. And I ask, God, that in Jesus' name, that those who are convicted, God, that they would confess their sin, get it under the blood, and get right with You, God. There is a lot of work that has to be done in the kingdom, God. And I need each and every believer to do their part. Father, You didn't assemble us here so that we could run away from You. You assembled us here for a greater purpose and a destiny. And I pray, God, that we would embrace what You have for us through streams. God, I thank You for the attentiveness of Your people today and ask that You richly bless them. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.